Arthur has a horrible sense of deja vu as they sneak past the night security guard in Arkstone's lobby. At least this time he's fully aware of the whispered spell Merlin casts to send a guard to sleep for a bit. But it still feels ominously like that night so many years ago, and it does nothing to calm his mounting nerves. They use the back stairwell to get to the 7th floor, hoping they won't run into any employees who might have stayed late. It's nearly 11, but Arthur knows that plenty of people work overtime at Arkstone. The 7th floor, however, is deserted. Arthur wonders if Merlin can hear the hammering of his heart as they approach room 22. Arthur's not exactly surprised to find that it's locked with a keypad and what looks like an iris scanner, but his stomach drops anyway. "I don't have clearance to get in here," he hisses, and Merlin waves him aside. He stands in front of the lock a while, examining it. Then he puts his hand on it and says a few words. The keypad beeps green. Then, to Arthur's amazement, Merlin blinks and one of his eyes changes color, softening from a bright blue to a green mix. He puts his eye up to the scanner, and there's a whirring noise and then a soft click. He presses down on the handle and the door swings open.
"What did you just do?"
Merlin grins at him. "That mad anarcho-communist I told you about taught me how to manipulate keypads. He did a lot of breaking and entering, apparently. And the scanner holds the image of the last person who accessed it. I just extracted it and transferred it onto my own eye."
Is that my father's eye?"
"Probably, yeah."
"Okay, that's amazing. And really creepy. Can you change it back now, please?"
Merlin laughs and blinks, and then both his eyes are ocean blue again.
"Is all that..." Arthur waves a vague hand. "Normal? Can most magicals do that?"
"No," Merlin says. "I think most wouldn't be able to."
"You really are special,"
Arthur says, and then cringes slightly to hear himself. Merlin gives him a wry smile. "Very flattering, but not really the time. Come on." Slightly apprehensively, Arthur pushes the door open. He half expects there to be some kind of trap in place, but it just looks like a fairly normal meeting room. Except for the huge processing unit set up in the corner, lights flashing on and off, and an intricate series of wires trailing across it. Merlin walks straight over to it, and Arthur resists the urge to pull him back to check if it's safe first. Merlin's in charge here, though. He's the one who can destroy the damn thing. Arthur just needs to get out of his way and clamp down on his overwhelming desire to protect him. He hovers in the background as Merlin surveys the machine in silence. "As far as I can tell," Merlin says slowly, "this is the power source. The actual device is... this." He holds up a flat gray tablet that Arthur vaguely remembers from Gilly's email. "It actually looks a bit like the ones they use to test your magic," Merlin sighs, turning it over carefully in his hands. "But I don't know whether I'll need to turn it on to disable it, or whether turning it on will set it off."
"Jesus, don't turn it on then," Arthur says quickly.
Merlin rolls his eyes. "Yes, thank you, very helpful. I'm just gonna see what I can read from it." He puts the tablet flat on the table and then presses his hands to the top of it, closing his eyes. Arthur waits for about 5 minutes, anxiety building within him. At last, Merlin opens his eyes again. "It's very intricate," he says worriedly. "I'm not particularly technical, so most of the coding doesn't make sense to me."
"That's what you're doing, reading the code?"
"Not exactly. Like I said, I can't do that. I'm actually pulsing my magic into the machine with a directive to find a way to shut it down, so ideally my magic will highlight its weak point for me. But it keeps getting blocked because part of the device has a protection spell on it. God knows how they figured that one out, but it's strong and it keeps obstructing me." Merlin brings his hand to his forehead, and Arthur suddenly notices the beads of sweat there. "Doesn't help that I'm not really at my best. I can't really tell when the device is blocking me and when I'm blocking myself."
"It's all right," Arthur says, trying to sound calm. "Just take your time." Murden nods and puts his hand back on the device. Another agonizing 15 minutes pass, and Murden rears back like he's been shocked.
"Are you okay?"
Arthur says, hurrying forward.
"Yeah," Merlin gasps. "Just... my magic's not really up to this. It won't cooperate. It keeps letting the protection spell throw me out."
His face is pale and sweaty, and Arthur pulls a bottle of water from his bag and makes Merlin drink.
"Do you want to sit down for a bit?"
"No," Merlin says determinedly, and he goes back over. This time, it only takes 5 minutes before he has to stop again, but he won't rest, and it takes 2 more tries before Arthur puts his foot down.
"Just stop. You need a break. Sit down and eat something for a minute."
"I don't have a minute. I don't have time," Merlin snaps.
"You're wearing yourself out."
"I'm fine," Merlin says, although his breathing is hard and fast and his skin is almost translucent now.
"If you don't stop, you might kill yourself."
"And if I do stop, I might kill everyone else."
Arthur swallows. It's an impasse, and he can't deny Merlin's logic. But he looks to be in a bad way.
"All right, just... look, didn't you say magic only works when you're centered? Just eat this one energy bar and practice your breathing for a minute, and you might have better luck."
Merlin frowns unhappily, but he stomps over and lets Arthur push him down into his seat. After he's finished the energy bar, a tiny bit of color has returned to his cheeks.
"Merlin," Arthur says intently, "don't panic. Stay with me."
"I don't know if I can do this," Merlin says, and his voice wavers.
"You can do it. I know you can."
"There's too much at stake. I can't do it."
"You can. You can, Merlin, I swear."
Arthur kneels down to wrap his arms around Merlin, trying to put some of his love and faith into the embrace.
"Just relax,"
he murmurs in his ear, and Merlin nods against him. "Okay, I'm gonna try again." He walks back over to the tablet and draws a deep breath. Then he shuts his eyes and places his hands over it. Minutes tick by. It's well past midnight now, and Arthur can't help but count in his head. The march is assembling at 9 in the morning. What time will Uther arrive here to prep the device? If Merlin really can't do this, how long will they have to try the other options? To talk to the police, the government? His thoughts come to an abrupt halt when Merlin literally flies across the room to land with a thump 6 feet away from the device.
"Merlin!"
Arthur shouts in a panic, but Merlin is incongruously grinning all over his face.
"I've got it! It checked me out, but I've got it now! I know how to disarm it!"
Arthur pulls him to his feet.
"Really?"
"Yeah."
Merlin's face is shining. He looks alive and ready for action.
"I'll have to dive back in, but I know where I'm going now."
He fixes Arthur with a look.
"It's gonna try and throw me off again. Will you hold me in place? I need to keep physical contact with it."
Arthur nods and gets behind him as he approaches the device again. Arthur wraps his arms around Merlin's torso and then widens his stance, trying to make sure he's as secure as possible.
"Okay, hold on tight."
Merlin had done a lot to demystify magic in Arthur's eyes over the past few weeks, but this is still completely insane. Merlin is literally bucking and thrashing to keep a hold on the tablet, and the thing seems to be doing its best to bodily expel him from its vicinity. Arthur nearly loses his grip several times, but he manages to stay upright and keep Merlin in place. It's worth it when he hears a triumphant shout.
"I've almost got it! I've blasted through the protection spell. I just need to destroy the central processor."
Arthur lets out a little whoop of joy, and between that and Merlin's noises of exertion, perhaps that's why they don't notice the door opening until it's too late.
"Get the hell away from that device."
It's Uther, and he's pointing a gun at them. Arthur freezes in terror. His grip on Merlin loosens, and the device's protective wards finally achieve their goal of throwing him off. Merlin shoots backwards and hits the wall hard, where he lies in a dazed heap. Arthur starts to go to him.
"Don't you fucking move!"
Uther hisses. Then he trains his gun on Merlin's crumpled form.
Dad!
Arthur whimpers, his mouth dry.
Not another word, Arthur,
his father says, voice dangerously low.
There is no reasonable explanation you could offer for being here. Nothing you could say that would explain why that is here, and missing its suppressor no less.
Arthur flinches to hear his father refer to Merlin that way, but it's only a drop in the ocean compared to the blinding fear he's feeling right now.
I put a spell on him,
Merlin suddenly croaks out, attempting to sit up even as blood trickles down from the back of his head.
I magicked him, made him bring me here.
Merlin, no, Arthur says frantically. Merlin clearly thinks that he's about to die, and his last act is one of stupid, useless bravery to save Arthur from his father's wrath.
Don't lie to me,
Uther spits before turning back to Arthur.
Valiant and Senrid warned me, but I couldn't bear to believe it. They told me you had grown attached, Arthur, that you actually had feelings for this thing. I should have listened to them. I should have known that you would screw this up, just like you've screwed up every other task you've ever turned your hand to.
Dad,
you are useless,
Uther says, disdain dripping from every word.
I could weep for all the time and energy I invested in you. And for what? You turn out like this. You are nothing but a disappointment.
Arthur feels like someone slowly rotating a knife in his guts, twisting and mangling his insides until he can't breathe properly anymore.
Don't talk to him like that, Merlin says fiercely. You're the disappointment. You were a shit father, and it's no credit to you that Arthur turned out to be a good man in spite of that. Shut up, magical,
Uther sneers.
What would you know of goodness? Your kind are depraved, disgusting. The bonds of family mean nothing to you.
You're wrong, Arthur says shakily, and Uther turns to him in shock.
You're wrong, he says again, slightly louder. He's not depraved. None of them are. They are the same as us. They always were. No better or worse. You just can't see it because you're sick in the head. How dare you?
Uther snarls.
You must be sick with all the things you've done. You made an entire career out of ruining people's lives, for no other reason than some genetic fluke they were born with. What did they ever do to you?
Arthur's shouting now, and Uther narrows his eyes.
Magicals killed your mother. No, a blood clot killed my mother. And you couldn't handle it, so you looked for someone to blame. You blamed magicals, and you blamed me.
Arthur's crying now, but he brushes the tears away impatiently. He has more he needs to say.
You never let me be a child. You treated me like a soldier. And you withheld love to keep me in line. All this time I thought there'd be a way to earn it somehow. But it doesn't exist, does it? There is no love left inside you. I don't know what ideas that thing has been filling your head with. His name is Merlin,
Arthur shouts.
And he's a better man than you'll ever be. And I love him more than I'll ever love you.
The silence that follows that statement is profound. He and his father stare at each other, all barriers stripped away at last. The truth lying heavy between them.
Love.
Uther says, and he laughs very softly.
Well, I hope it was worth it. Say goodbye.
And he levels the gun at Merlin's head.
No!
Arthur cries, and Merlin gives him a sad little smile.
Arthur, it's okay. It's okay. I love you. I'll see you again, I hope. Somehow.
He looks up at Uther.
I only have one thing to say before I go.
O'Kelly!
Instantly, the forgotten tablet rises off the table behind Uther. He turns just in time to see it hover in the air before exploding into a thousand tiny little pieces.
No!
Uther shouts, eyes bulging from his head. He rushes over, but there's nothing there. It's as though the tablet never existed. When he swings back round, there's murder in his eyes, but the diversion has bought Arthur enough time to move. Uther raises the gun and fires. Arthur leaps in front of Merlin. He doesn't feel anything, and for a moment he thinks the gun misfired, that they've both been saved. And then he hits the floor and sees the blood start to spread across his shirt. The pain kicks in, but it's not the agony he thought it would be. It's dulled somehow, separated from him, and he wonders if he's already in shock. So this is what it's like to die. He looks up, and his dad standing over him, abject horror in his eyes. It's a funny time to find out that his dad did care about him after all, at least a little bit. He's being pulled onto someone's lap, his head cradled in someone's hands. He turns to see Merlin, his face white, his mouth open like he's screaming. Perhaps he is screaming. Someone is. Arthur can hear them. He tries to smile at Merlin, to let him know that it's all right, after all. He's rather it happened like this than the other way around. He wouldn't have been able to go on living after losing Merlin. He didn't have the energy to pick himself up and start again. But Merlin has a community. He has a mom who loves him. He'll find a way to carry on. Merlin's a fighter, a survivor. There's a clatter above him, and Merlin looks up and shouts what sounds like a spell. Out of the corner of his eye, Arthur can see his father drop to the floor, and he cranes his neck to see better. He's unconscious but still breathing. Good. Merlin's not a killer. Merlin's too good for that. He's everything that's best about life, and Arthur loves him more than Arthur loves him more than ever now he's leaving him. He tries to speak and tell him that, but his lips won't form the words. He hopes Merlin can see it in his eyes anyway. The lights are fading now, and Arthur's ready to go. There's a weight on his chest that keeps getting heavier, and he's tired. Very tired. He takes one last look at Merlin, and then he lets his eyes drift shut. Everything stops.